Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you live here on a Wednesday morning, January the 12th, 2022, 1-12-22, 17 coming up on 18 minutes past the hour. Now, did you notice right there before the start of the show that I was able to get my mic problem worked out? I don't know how that continues to happen, that I wish I could have a spy in here, or a camera, or something, to see who messes with that microphone every night, but highly unlikely that will happen, so maybe one day we will find the culprit of the microphone knob. Now, I do want to let everybody know we had a little bit of a technical difficulty overnight last night, and people's radios went out for a little bit. I'm not sure how long they were out. They came back up about, I'm going to say about 45 minutes ago, and we've been sounding good since then. It was just a lag in the internet, which happens from time to time, between the studio and the tower. Everything's back to normal now, and here we are on a Wednesday morning. Also, do want to let you know, oh, by the way, if ever we do go out like that, if you have a cell phone or listening device or Dot or Alexa or any of those things, all you have to do is say listen to 107.1 FM or listen to WWGH, and those devices will bring us up live even if our internet signal is not our over-the-air signal is not working. The internet signal always is working. So just a technical difficulty. I think sometimes in this cold weather, the signals lag overnight. Just like in your home. You know when you're downloading something and you're trying to make it move faster or watch a video or have a streaming service on and the lag comes up and it says loading or processing or something like that? That's what typically happens here, and that's what causes those problems. We haven't had one of those in quite a while, but we had one last night. But thank goodness we caught it this morning, and we are back up on the air here. Also, we do not have any sports report this morning because, and in the sports report we've been airing for the last couple days was actually from, I believe, the 7th of January. Mike McGinnis, who does the sports here, is under the weather, not feeling very well. I think he's got possibly a case of laryngitis. So he will be back doing the sports as soon as he can talk, and we will have an updated sports report. Monday night was a big night in sports, as we talked about yesterday. My goodness. I guess, you know, watching a little bit of that game, I did not understand the fallout that would happen yesterday with Georgia beating Alabama. But holy moly, it's... I guess I did not realize, not being an avid college football fan, how important that victory was and how bad they beat Alabama, and how it's even making Alabama rethink how they do business as far as this great coach they have and great coaching staff, that Georgia was able to come in and do this. And it had been something like 30 years since anything like this had happened. So it was an interesting football game, to say the least. And I, it seemed to me, maybe it's because people get tired of the same team winning all the time, it seemed like everybody was rooting for Georgia, even if you were not a Georgia fan. Even if you had no interest in sports at all, it seemed like people wanted Georgia to win that game. And they did. So, good for Georgia for, I guess, having a better game plan than Alabama did. All right. Okay. Well, we had a lot of fun yesterday morning. So I've left the morning open again this morning to talking to you on the toll-free line here. We talked about tire pressure yesterday, amongst other things. And that was a lot of fun. And that's the type of radio I like to do. I do like to do interviews from time to time when there's something newsworthy going on or just something fun going on. And I like to do the trivia. That's fun, too. But when we can just talk about things going on in Marion and kind of learn and things nationally, too, or things that just go on in everybody's life, I enjoy that quite a bit. And that was a lot of fun. We had 2 hours of that yesterday, so hopefully we can do that again this morning with your participation out there. A lot warmer this morning than it was yesterday. The whole conversation yesterday started because of the tire pressure in my car, because I have one of those, and I call it the newfangled tire sensors. And last week, the tire sensor came on, and I thought, well, something's obviously wrong with one of my tires, it needs air, something of that nature. So I thought, well, I'll look at this, and I looked at my tires, and none of them looked low, so I thought, well, I can put this off maybe a day or two, but I need to go in and get the air. Well, this was last Thursday or Friday, I can't remember which day, but miraculously, on Monday morning, when I got in the car, the light was off. And it has remained off ever since. Now, this is odd to me for a number of reasons, because we had some conversations yesterday about temperature and how sometimes when it gets cold, the tire pressure will go down, which will set that sensor off. And then when the temperature comes back up, the sensor will go off. Well, I buy that to a certain degree because last Friday morning it was rather cold, so I can see that causing the sensor to come on, and then as the temperature came up over the weekend, I can see the sensor going off. But we had, I think, I don't know if it was much colder, but it was a cold day yesterday morning, somewhere between 7 degrees and 11 degrees, depending on where you were, I guess, in the county, but the gauge never came back on. Which I'm happy about, and the tires all look fine, but don't know what caused it, don't know what the issue was, and glad it's not an issue right now. And I did go around again and look at all the tires to make sure they were okay, which really yesterday led to the conversation of trying to be your own mechanic, which you really cannot do any longer. It's too difficult. People used to know certain basics about a car. If something was going on, you could lift the hood up on a car, and you could get under the hood, and you could fix certain things, like spark plugs and changing your own oil and oil filters, and even radiators were replaced by people, and things of that nature, no problem at all. Transmissions were rebuilt and replaced. Now the problem is there's so much to do with the car that comes from an electronic nature that if you pull the wrong thing, or if you happen to knock a cord off or bump something, in the past you would just put the cord back on. But now everything is so connected to the electronic panels in that car that you could be in real trouble then. Then not only do you have the problem that you have, but now you also have the problem of the computers not working in your car correctly, which now control so much. Control all the lights in your dashboard that tell you when something's wrong. They control a lot of the things in your car that you have, depending on the amenities, from the windows to the seats moving back and forward to the seats heating up. It's really a mess when you think about it, when it comes to working on your cars, which I guess is why mechanics are really in need right now, and really a job if you go into that you are not going to be looking for a job anytime soon. So that was the conversation yesterday. Now, I do want to let everybody know, last night I went over to Caledonia to Angie's for dinner. And we had some pork chops that were really, really good. And I enjoyed that, and I thanked her for inviting me over for that. But what's interesting to me is pork chops are something I never cook at home. For some reason, I couldn't tell you the last time I cooked a pork chop at home. It's probably been a year or more. And I like pork chops. A matter of fact, I probably like pork better than I like beef. I mean, there are certain things that I like beef in. Every so often, I like a good sloppy joe, or I like a good hamburger, obviously, or something like that. But it's on the whole, I like pork chops, pork roast, which I have not had in a long while. That's not bad. Beef roast is good as well. But it was good last night having the pork chops, I guess is my point here. And it kind of leads into the conversation that I was going to have yesterday morning, but we did not get into because of the weather situation and the tire. We talked before Christmas about doing a cookbook for people here in Marion, that people could contribute recipes, and they could put their name with the recipe, and we could just collect them here at the station, and maybe everybody at the station could put in a recipe or two, and we could bind this up and give it to people, maybe as a prize, or I really don't know how we would get it out to people, but make it available to people, because some of these recipes are really going by the wayside. So that was an idea we had before Christmas, and I thought it was a really good idea. Well, interestingly enough, the other night, two nights ago, would have been Monday night, I was watching a show, and I'm not even sure if this lady is still alive, but she was, and I want to try to explain this correctly, she was called the Food Detective, I think was her name. And what she did was kind of, it was interesting. I watched the whole 45-minute show on her. Now, what she did was she would take things that restaurants cooked, fast food places, regular restaurants, she would take their popular items, and by taste, she would recreate those things. Now you're saying, well, why wasn't she sued for copyright or something of that nature? Well, she didn't get the recipe. She wasn't stealing their recipe. What she was doing was taking foods and things of that nature and creating these taste-alike recipes that tasted like what you would get in restaurants. And what was fascinating to me about it was the stuff that she would put into these dishes were things you would never really put in to your own dishes at home. But I think that's how she was able to get the taste right of some of these foods. Now, are they the recipes that the restaurants use? Probably not, because a lot of the restaurants now tend to, you know, bring bags of things in, and it's almost ready-made, and you just dump it into a machine. But one of the things she did, and it's one of the easiest ones that I remember, was the Wendy's Frosty. And I'm almost positive this is not how you make the Wendy's Frosty, but she just took three items. Now, what she would do is she would take vanilla ice cream, and she would put it in her refrigerator for an hour, so it would kind of soften up the ice cream, so it wasn't that hard. So basically, you take your vanilla ice cream, and you put it in your refrigerator for about an hour. Now, while you're doing that, you get your blender out, and you take, I think it was a cup of milk, which that's not that difficult, and Nestle Quick. Now, I guess it would have to be Nestle Quick because of the flavoring. So she took, and I think it was a cup of Nestle Quick. So you take a cup of Nestle Quick and a cup of milk, and you put that in the blender, and you blend that all up. Then after an hour of having the ice cream in the refrigerator, where the ice cream has softened up quite a bit, you take 4 cups of that vanilla ice cream, and you put it in the blender with the Nestle Quick and the milk, and you blend that all up together, and that becomes a Frosty. And now, I have not tried this, but it's interesting because the people in the audience who were tasting this stuff to see if it tasted like, you know, restaurant stuff, were saying, wow, that tastes like a Frosty. Now, she also did other things which were much, much more complicated than I could remember, like she did Wendy's Chili, she did Oreos, she did Twinkies, she did Reese Cups. Now, the Reese Cups I do remember. The Reese Cups were kind of interesting. Now, what she would do is she would take a chocolate Hershey bar, just a regular chocolate Hershey bar, and she would melt that down in a pan. And then she would add, I think it was a cup and a half of peanut butter to the melted down Hershey bar. Any kind of peanut butter you want. Creamy peanut butter. So she would mix that all up. And then she took another cup and a half of peanut butter and she would put it in another saucepan and melt it down. Just the creamy peanut butter by itself. And then you would get out the cupcake pans and you would cut down the little papers that you set in the cupcake pans and you would take a dab of the chocolate and the peanut butter mixture together. You'd put that on the bottom and then you'd put just the peanut butter, melted down peanut butter in the middle. And then you would put more of the peanut butter chocolate mixture on the top. And you would just let these set out. I guess they did not have to be refrigerated. Let them set out for about an hour. And I guess they set up and they taste like Reese's peanut butter cups. Or at least, like that's what the people in the audience were saying. So, between the pork chops last night, the recipe book that we were talking about back in December, and also this program I saw two nights ago, it got me to thinking we should do this recipe book. But one of the things about it is do people do taste-alikes? Do people cook like they used to? Now, I want to get back to the Wendy's Frosty, because for years, people have called this a malt, that it's the closest thing that you can get to a malt in a restaurant. And to be honest, it does kind of taste like malted milk balls or the malts that people used to get in restaurants. But after seeing her come up with this taste-alike, there's nothing malt-like in it. It's pretty much just Nestle Quick and ice cream and milk. Now, I was wondering, because obviously there are different types of powdered chocolate drinks. Wonder why it's Nestle Quick. You know, with the Nestle bunny, the yellow can, which people still buy to this day. Wonder why it's that brand. I wonder if it has something to do with the flavor. Now, I don't drink a whole lot of chocolate milk or anything like that, but is Nestle more of a, I guess, less chocolatey taste than maybe a Hershey brand or maybe an off-brand or a store brand? Because it does seem to me, I just don't drink a lot, but it seemed to me that there was some reason that she must have been using the Nestle brand. Now, does anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I just found that interesting because I know a lot of people like Frosties. A lot of people go to Wendy's just for the Frosty because it's a very unique dessert just to them. And if you can make it at home, and I guess it probably would be a lot cheaper. You can get ice cream fairly cheap now, depending on the brand that you buy. A thing of Nestle Quick is not hugely expensive. And obviously, milk is not all that expensive. So you could really make quite a bit of Frosty at home. I just think getting the thickness right would be the most difficult thing when it would come to making a Frosty. Now, does anybody have any thoughts on this? Do you think a Frosty is a malt? Because I'm pretty sure that if you work at Wendy's, Frosty just comes as a mix. It comes off the truck, you dump it into the machine puts out the Frosty, and that's what happens. So I really don't think anybody who works at a Wendy's really knows what's in a Frosty. But apparently you can make it without anything to do with a malt. Anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-383-9944. Anybody who's drank malts for years and years and years have any thoughts on, is a Frosty a malt? And if it's not a malt, what is it closer to? If it's not your typical malt that you would get in soda shops and things of that nature over the years. Also, I did want to talk about chili recipes, because they did the Wendy's chili. Now, I can't remember exactly what was in it. I would have to go back and watch the show and write down the recipe. But a lot of people cook chili this time of year, and for years and years and years, one of the most popular cook-offs used to be chili cook-offs. Now, they would do pie tasting contests. Maybe that was second place. But it seemed like everybody had a special chili recipe. Now, I was curious this morning, because I know we have a lot of good cooks out there. What do you put in your chili that would be different to make it taste good? Now, when I've seen people cook chili, it seems like they get the tomato sauce. They get our tomato, well, I guess it's more tomato sauce than tomato paste. They get the tomato sauce, they get the hamburger, and they get the chili beans, and they mix that all together, and here we have chili. Now, I don't know, some people I see use chili powder, and some people I see really don't use chili powder. Now, some people in their chili put peppers in. Now, I think peppers are what's making the difference when they go to chili cook-offs and really changes the taste. Some people put other kinds of spices into their chili that makes it taste a lot different. Does anybody know of a chili recipe that they use or maybe their family used that is interesting to them? I thought this recipe conversation would be kind of interesting this morning. Does anybody have any thoughts on that? 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open. 39 coming up on 40 minutes past the hour here. 740-383-9944. Does anybody cook up a special dish at all? I know a lot of men typically, and I hate to say just men, but I know a lot of men typically have their signature food that they cook. You know, sometimes it's barbecue, sometimes it's grilling out, sometimes it is chili. But that's the dish that they do better than anybody else in the family. And sometimes the wife or the girlfriend or the woman they're living with will say, okay, you cook the chili tonight. You cook the barbecue. You know, it's kind of interesting. Last week, I was visiting somebody, and it was one of the cold days last week. I can't remember if it was Wednesday or Thursday, one of those nights where it was not really all that warm outside. And I pulled up in the driveway, and in the garage, I could see that the big... I smelled something as soon as I got out of the car that smelled kind of good. And I could see that the grill was up and running in the garage. Here we are in the coldness of January. And what I learned was, I guess their refrigerator that's in the garage had become partially unplugged, so they needed to cook their bratwurst, and they needed to cook their pork chops, and they needed to cook stuff like that rather quick, but they did it on the grill. So people still go out in the winter and cook on their grill. You didn't used to see a whole lot of that. Does anybody know why that has changed? So we're talking any kind of a recipe here today. Or did your mother make something when you were young that you just could not wait for her to make? Or is there a recipe that has been passed down in your family that you just love? I think it's a fascinating subject. People always say, it's like Mom used to make. Or this isn't like Mom used to make. Are there any items in your mind that kind of go in that category? Phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. Well, maybe there are, that nobody cooks anymore is the problem here this morning with this conversation. It's kind of funny because, you know, for years I've been hearing at these dinners that they have around town, these free dinners, that people used to like to go to those, and they used to be really good dinners. But all of a sudden, people are talking about the food quality. That the food quality is not what it used to be. I know a lot of people go over to the White Lily. By the way, we talked about that before the pandemic restrictions went up. Is the White Lily Church back up and running as far as the free dinners? On Wednesday, I think the free dinners used to be on Wednesday, and I still never understand why people went over to the White Lily Church. I don't know what that was all about. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, this is kind of related to what you're talking about, but there's a couple of foods that you used to be able to get, and now you can't get it.
Oh, at all?
That I really miss is KFC used to have a rotisserie gold chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have that?
You know, I remember when they had the rotisseries. Do they have any of those anymore?
No.
Yeah, I do remember those.
Oh, that was the best rotisserie chicken.
Very good.
Oh, man. And then the other product that you haven't been able to get for years is Dinner and Bell lunch meats. And Dinner and Bell had a Dutch loaf.
Now, Dutch loaf. Now, I like pickle loaf. Now, how is Dutch loaf different from pickle loaf?
Well, it don't have the pickles in it, but it's on the line of an old-fashioned loaf. You ever had an old-fashioned loaf?
Well, I'm just trying to place what Dutch loaf tastes like. Is it more ham?
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah, because I know pickle loaf is more bologna. It's bologna with pickles spread throughout it. And I'm trying to think, isn't Dutch loaf like the hard ham?
I can't tell you for sure. It's hard to find in stores, and even if you get it out of deli in the store, it's not the same as that Dinner Bell Dutch loaf.
You know, that's funny, too. Have you ever noticed that when people go to the deli now, well, people, first of all, don't go to the deli, I think, as much as they used to. It seems like all people ever go to the deli for is chipped ham and Colby cheese. Now, I don't know if that's just a popular sandwich in people's households, but as far as the stuff people used to get at the deli, where they had all kinds of meat and all kinds of cheeses, and a lot of times macaroni salad and potato salad and things like that, it seems to me that most of the stuff that comes out of the deli now tends to be Colby cheese and chipped ham.
Yeah, a lot of places don't have a huge deli. Now, Kroger's on Delaware Avenue, they got a pretty good deli there.
Well, Meijer's had a good deli for a long time, and they still might. I know they've done some construction in that area of the store, but they used to have it was really an old-fashioned deli, and a lot of older people I know would go to Meijer in the morning and have breakfast and lunch there and just sit in that area where the chairs were, because they would have all kinds of stuff. And I even think they had a lunch special for a long time. Now, since the pandemic, I don't know if that's still going on or not, but that went on for a long time.
Well, I know they took the tables out there and stuff. You can't sit down on it there anymore.
Yeah, I saw that they took the tables out, and I didn't understand that, because I don't think that had anything to do with the pandemic. I can't imagine it would. I don't know what the purpose would be.
It seemed to me like they had enough people there.
Yeah, one of the things that senior citizens used to do, and I don't know why it was senior citizens, maybe they had more time on their hands, but they would go to Meijer and sit in that area. I would see them there all the time.
And there was other people that came out there too, and you know, they just kind of talked. There's a lot of people do that at McDonald's too.
Well, you know, it's funny because both of my sets of grandparents, three of the four, did that. They liked to go out to Meijer for some reason. They would get their coffee there. They would get, you know, something for breakfast, whatever was in the deli. And they would usually stay through lunch talking because there would be like a coffee clutch of people out there. And they would stay maybe through 11, 12 o'clock. They would have lunch and then they would go home. And, you know, that just, well, that can't be a thing anymore because the tables are gone.
Yeah, you know, it's, I forget what's out there. I haven't been out there for a long time, but they replaced it with something.
Well, the other day when I was out there, it looked like there was just some kind of partition. Now, I don't know if they're doing work in that area, that they're, maybe they're trying to spruce it up. I don't know. I'm not even sure when the tables disappeared. Do you know when the tables disappeared?
I'd say about a year and a half ago.
Is that how long ago it's been?
Yeah. It was right around the start of the pandemic.
Now, have you heard anything about the White Lily Church?
White Lily Church.
Is over in Ashley?
No.
Yeah, people used to go over there by the truckload. I think it was on Wednesdays, and they would have food, and people always raved about the food and how cheap it was and how they could get, you know, as much food as they would want. I remember there were places, people who lived in like Seton Square and Brownstone and the retirement communities around here, they would get carloads of people, the seniors, and they would go down there for these dinners every week, and I think sometimes they had entertainment as well. But there was something about the church in Ashley. And I never knew what that was. I never knew why that church. Because a lot of churches here in Marion, I think, serve dinners. As far as I know, you know, we've got like 60-something churches in Marion. I would think one of them would serve a free meal every week. Maybe they don't. I don't know. But people would head over to Ashley all the time.
I know Salvation Army does a free meal once or twice a week here.
Now, where do they do that at?
Right there at the Salvation Army building on Church Street.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. See, I think people also don't know about a lot of these things. Now, is the Salvation Army meal, is that a free meal?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
And there's a place down in Waldo that gives out a free meal, I think, once a week. They did a holiday meal, too. I got one of those on the holiday.
Well, and it's great that people do this. I just, you know, I wonder if people are aware. We talk a lot about services that are available to people, but I really don't know if people know about the free meals. But for some reason, for Marion people, that Ashley White Lily Church just got so much attention.
I never heard of that.
No. Yeah, well, maybe somebody else will call in, but that is interesting about the rotisserie chicken and the Dutch loaf. Maybe somebody will call in and knows where you can get some of it.
Yeah, that KFC rotisserie gold, that was just a bomb, though.
Not bad, huh?
Yeah.
Better than the rotisseries you get in the store?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What was so good about it?
I don't know exactly how they made it, but, you know, it had a greenish... The outside of it was kind of greenish, and it was just so good.
Oh, that's interesting.
It was kind of expensive. I think that's the reason why I didn't go over.
Well, that can happen. You know,
these stores sometimes sell these chickens. You know, Meijer sometimes has them for $3.99. I've even seen them for $2.99. You know, and you can't... By the time you buy the chicken, you can't be making any money. KFC can't make no money at that.
No, I've seen some of the stores do like 2 for $6 and things like that. It's interesting. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
Bye-bye. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 51 minutes past the hour here on this Wednesday morning. Does anybody know where you can get any good Dutch loaf? Or does anybody know anything about the White Lily Church? Are they back up and running with their Wednesday meals? And what's the cost if they are? Have any changes been made in that particular area? 740-383-9944. And does anybody know why Meijer took out their kind of deli area, or at least seating area, where people used to sit, drink coffee, get a little bit of food from the deli? I don't know why that went by the wayside. Or does anybody know here in Marion where you can go and get a good meal once a week? Because I was always amazed that people were going to Ashley, that people were going down there for their food. I never really understood that appeal. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, good morning, Scott. On your question on Dutch loaf, the market up on Lynn Hipshire Road off of 23, where the flea market is.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The general store there, I can't think of the name offhand, but they're the only place around I know that has Dutch loaf, and it's really good.
Oh, so out at the flea market.
Yeah. It's that little store there's a separate entity from the flea market, I believe, because it's always open. But, yeah, they have the Dutch loaf.
Oh, that's good. Very interesting.
They also have, they also carry the Isley's brand chipped ham.
You know, I've never gotten it, but what is it about the Isley chipped ham that's different?
Well, I think half of it is the name Isley's that draws people to it, and then the other half is it's good. That's all I know. And then Kroger's doesn't carry chipped ham anymore, so they might be the only place that does chipped ham now, too.
Oh, so chipped ham has been done away with.
At Kroger's it has.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
The one on Delaware Avenue, at least. That's the only one I shop at. They don't carry it anymore.
Well, you know,
chipped ham.
I have noticed that for maybe the last 3 or 4 years, when people go to the deli, the most thing I ever see them bringing out is bags of chipped ham and Colby cheese. And I don't know why that is. You know, like the salads and things of that nature used to go over, and potato salad, macaroni salad. But all that, I don't know why that's went by the wayside.
I don't know either. Can't tell you.
Interesting. Well, hey, thanks for the information.
Thanks. You're welcome.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, again, phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. Well, there you go. If you want some good Dutch loaf, apparently the old, I think it's still a flea market, but they have a market out there. I forget what they call that market out there now at the flea market. Is it the Grand Prairie Farm Market? I think they also do pizzas out there. I've never had a pizza from there, but I hear that people do like their pizzas out in that, out in the old flea market. And Isley's chipped ham. You know, I know they sell Isley chipped ham out there at the flea market, and I think we've talked about that before, but I don't know what it is or what it was about Isley's chipped ham that was so special. I mean, is it just buying the name Isley that we're all so familiar with for so many years here in Marion? Is that kind of the deal behind the Isley chipped ham? Maybe. Let me know, 740-383-9944. Also, does anybody know anything about the White Lily Church in Ashley? Why so many people go down there? Is the food still good? Is the price still good? Are they back up and running since some of the restrictions from the pandemic have been lifted? I know last time we talked about this, the pandemic restrictions were still in place, so I think they were operating on kind of a limited basis down there, but I don't know the appeal. And is there any place in Marion that has that appeal as far as a good meal goes? Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, it's the Grand Prairie market that you're talking about out by the flea market.
Right.
And the flea market is still there. The market's up towards the front. As you go in, and they do have all varieties of the different lunch meats that we used to eat years ago at the old market stores where you went at, like Wyndham's and places like that, and they got it for you. They didn't put it on you, like all the pickle loaf and everything.
Well, that's good. And good prices out there?
Yeah, the prices are good.
Good. Good. Now, what is it about the Isley Chip Cam that people like?
I've never heard of it at all. I know it's delicious. And whenever I can get out that way, I buy it.
All right. Well, hey, thanks, Bob.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about the Isley Chip Cam that gets people so... Maybe it's just a nostalgia thing. I really don't know. Is there a different taste to it? I'm going to have to get... just a little bit of this Isley Chip Cam at some point to see if there's some kind of a different taste. I don't know. I don't know if it's the name. And I can't imagine that the Isley Chip Cam of today is like the Isley Chip Cam of yesterday. Because I don't even know where it would be manufactured and brought in at. Does anybody know that? 740-383-9944. And also any information on the White Lily Church in Ashley, Ohio. You know, for many years, I don't know if they still do it or not, but they used to call that the Psychic Church because I don't really know what the philosophy was over there, but I did have their reverend on at one point, Reverend Clevenger, Stephen Clevenger. And I remember he was a psychic. He came on the program and would do readings. I think he did some over the air. I think he did some in the studio. So a lot of people would call that the Psychic Church, but that did not seem to bother anybody. Because heaven knows, carloads of people would head down there, and I think it was Wednesdays. Oddly enough, we're talking about this on a Wednesday. Does anybody know anything about the White Lily Church? Are they back up and running? What the cost of the meal is over there? Why so many people go down there as opposed to staying in Marion, where we do have some free meals? Does anybody know what the denomination is of that church down there? All I ever heard it called was the White Lily or the Psychic Church. That's how people seem to refer to it. But I know they like the food. And I always thought the reason that they liked the food was maybe they had some older ladies or older gentlemen cooking the food down there. So it tasted more like what people remember. And there is a difference. There's a big difference in things like pie crust. There's a big difference in things like, just special ingredients. Chili being one of those things that people used to do in their own little special way. Does anybody have any information on that? Or maybe the Grand Prairie Flea Market? Grand Prairie Farm Market out here. Give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, I've heard of also a lot of people lately going over to the Kingsaver grocery store in the Fair Park area. Now, I don't know. I know they have a deli. I was in there, last November, October, November, something like that. And I walked past the deli section, and I was kind of surprised at how big their deli was. That they also sold the grape Faygo pop, which is what I bought when I was there. But they had a really big deli section over kind of near their produce department. And I don't remember that being there years ago. Maybe it has been. It's been a long time since I shopped in that area. Does anybody have anything to say about that deli, which is a particularly big deli? 740-383-9944. And also, I know there are some delis in counties next to us that people go to. I know there are some delis in Galleon. I know there are some delis, I think, in Bucyrus that people go to. I know a lot of people go to Bucyrus for their bratwurst at Carly's over in Bucyrus because of the way they make the bratwurst over there and how they taste. And there also was some kind of meat market. I went there one time with two other people, and I rode along. So to be honest with you, I don't even remember where we went. It wasn't too far away, but it was in the back of this little general store. And in the very back, there was a meat counter, and it wasn't a big meat counter at all. It was fairly small, not a big place at all. But boy, people were lined up there on a Saturday morning. They were doing a business. Was it Raymond? Is that where the big meat thing was? Well, I'll tell you what, think about that and think about the White Lily Church, and maybe we'll come back after this break with some information. Don't go anywhere.
And we had all the Indians there and everything. The Indians, every tribe was represented, and she did a beautiful job with that. But